Hey everybody, Josh here. This is a special edition of a Quick Talk podcast. Now, what today's episode is an actual coaching call that I did with somebody in my Automate Grow Sell bootcamp. So I have permission from this person, and it's an interesting type of thing to listen to. This is a real person with real issues, with a real small business, bouncing things off me as I help walk them through some of the options and the insight as I try to give them clarity and direction on what the next step should be for them and their business. I thought it would be a cool and interesting thing for the Quick Talk listeners to hear this type of an interview. It's a little bit long, but it's also real and raw. So if you have time and this is relevant to you and you have a small business, you have questions and are stuck, I bet a lot of the things that come up on my call today are gonna be relevant to you. I would appreciate if you have, you know, feedback or comments on this, send me an email to josh@automategrowsell.com. Before we get started, I'm also offering calls just like this for free to you. I'll give a 45-minute coaching call to you for free just to prove to you the value and the insight and the clarity that I can help bring to many, many small business owners. We have a wide variety of people in the boot camp. We have carpet cleaners and lawn care companies and even an in-home air quality company. The point is this: if you have a home service company and you want to grow, if you want to scale, if you want to get unstuck, if you want to have the accountability and the tools and the framework you need, set an appointment so that we can talk. And you know, during the 45-minute call, I'm going to provide value to you. I'm going to record the call, send it to you later so that you can, you know, have it as a reference point. And I'll also give you a 6-page PDF business snapshot report, which will help you understand where your business is today in terms of the quality of your sales and service and operational departments and all the different systems and things that you should have in those departments. We'll talk about it. It's highly valuable. It's a lot of fun. It's very, very limited because it is my actual time that I'm giving to do this 100% for free. If you're interested in that, just go to automategrowsell.com/45. That stands for the 45 minutes. automategrowsell.com/45. I hope you enjoy today's sample call. So tell me about your business. Tell me about your history. What services do you offer? How long have you been in business? Give me a little nutshell so I understand where you're coming from.
We do window cleaning, pressure washing, gutter cleaning, and roof cleaning are really our main services. Pressure washing and window cleaning are definitely our kind of bread and butter. We started offering roof cleaning, I'd say probably 6-8 months ago, something like that. Had a lot of people asking about it. Small business, you know, I started out just going into our third year. I think we started in September of 14. So this is like our third fiscal year, I guess, starting.
Okay.
Made it through like 2 years. Things have been pretty good. You know, it's the typical struggles of the first couple years. I read your book probably a month into starting the business. And
oh,
it was,
wow.
That's Let me awesome. Just say, man, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, yeah, when you don't know anything yet because you're just starting, even little tiny little nuggets can change everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I credit so many like the commercial estimate form. And so I still use it. Like, I mean, all I did was put our logo in it, you know. But and there was a lot of stuff that just wasn't – it was so – you know, it was almost on a different level, so we couldn't really put it to play yet. But it was, you know, just getting us started in the right direction, started trying to build systems. And I'd say that's definitely an area that I'm lacking in right now. It's almost just kind of knowing what systems to do and when. Probably getting a little ahead of ourselves. But right now we have – it's me and a part-time helper. I'm kind of kicking around the idea of – partnering with a guy who I've known for a long time who does window cleaning. He's been around for about 15 years. He's actually my old jiu-jitsu instructor. So we had a kind of a personal relationship before. And you know, when I got into window cleaning, we reconnected.
But if you ever have to discipline him, then he'll just totally choke you out.
That
isn't going to work. You got a good foundation laid. You have a helper, you're making revenue, you know what the heck you're doing, and now we need to level up, right? So one of the things, and then we'll talk about the potential business partner. That's a really interesting, very common thing that happens.
I really wanted to get your feel on it. I know I've talked to Chris a few times. Super, super awesome guy, by the way. but I know you guys have a, you know, you had a really good thing. So I wanted to, you know, just get your feelings on some of the, you know, I've been in partnerships in the past that haven't worked out well. So I'm definitely wary of it. And we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I think that the fit is pretty good here, but it's still something that, you know, I'm nervous about just because Pristine is my baby, you know, and we're not killing it, but we, like you said, we laid a foundation and, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this thing grows.
Do you have kids or anything?
I do.
I have, okay. You're a family guy?
Yeah. She's actually home from school today. She's
awesome.
Running around here somewhere.
You have one daughter?
Yeah. We actually have a 7-year-old and then one on the way. So
I got four. You got to catch up, man.
I know. How are they?
They're crazy. They're three boys and a baby girl. So there's lots of we play war all the time. Right. So we walk around my house with guns and fake destroy each other and throw fake grenades at each other. That's what boys do, you know. So that's cool.
Oh, she does the same thing, man. We have Nerf. We have like epic Nerf battles at the house. We both have like Iron Man masks and deck out with 8 guns on and run around.
I think it's a powerful thing for your business that you have that because.
Yeah. It's a motivation.
The reason you do all this isn't so you can make a dirty window clean, really. That's cool, and it looks good, and you get a sense of accomplishment. But there's got to be some deeper thing you're trying to do. You're trying to protect your family. You're trying to grow your business. You're trying to do something specific. Tell me what it is. What do you want to happen here? Not 37 years from now, but if I could push a button and go, boom, you have it. What do you want 12 to 18 months from now that is not in place now in regards to your business?
I would say consistent prospects and customers, you know, a full schedule. One thing that really kills us is we'll have 2-3 weeks where we're just slammed. And then I know another couple weeks where we won't be doing anything and we'll be having to, you know, try to do everything we can to get work and scrounge up stuff, calling past customers, you know, doing extra marketing. That I would say is probably the biggest thing. At least that's the right now, is really just having consistent work to keep ourselves on an even keel. You know, we'll range anywhere from having a month where we'll do 3 or 4,000 to 14, you know, and that's, it's really difficult to plan.
So financial uncertainty. That's what we're talking about. Your personal income is a roller coaster and it's super stressful and you don't want like that. Okay. That's cool. We can deal with that. I can help with that. Cool. All right. And so what kind of money do you take out of the business right now and pay? What are your financial needs? Do you have $8 billion in debt? Is it a nightmare? Can you live lean for a while we try to build your business? What's the financial situation look like for you personally?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We didn't really take much out at all the first year, really just kind of try to roll it back into growth. That was mainly buying new equipment and, you know, trying to brand the company. We bought it. And this is probably, I don't know if this is the best thing to do. I know Dave Ramsey would have probably shot me, but we got a new van and had it wrapped, really tried to kind of like lay the foundation for something that, you know, we could really work out of. Well, I was working out of, you know, like an older truck and just wanted to get something that looked really professional to kind of have that, you know, image that we were trying to portray. So we didn't go crazy. We're not in debt by any means. That's our, I think, you know, as far as the business goes, the only real loan we have out is the vehicle. We don't have a whole lot of personal debt. You know, we do own our house. So we have a mortgage, but we're not, both of our cars are paid for, our personal vehicles. My wife works. So we do have, you know, having a secondary income really helps out a lot, especially when building a business.
Cool. And so what do you pay yourself now? Or do you just take money as you need it? Or do you actually pay yourself a paycheck?
I just started, I read Profit First recently.
I'm hoping to get that guy on my podcast.
That's awesome. Yeah, he really is. I read that and then I read The Surge and then The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, just kind of binge read them over like 4 or 5 days. But Profit First really helped me. Right after doing it, I sat down, I analyzed all of our financials for the past year, saw that we were really just almost, I wouldn't say our expenses were too high, but it seemed like it because I was using the business, probably things that I shouldn't have been. It wasn't like going crazy and, you know, spending a bunch of money, but on personal stuff, it was more of just instead of paying myself a consistent amount, it was like the gas station purchases and Starbucks and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it looked like our expenses were really high, and that kind of helped me figure it out, you know, as far as, okay, how much are we actually making? Are we making anything?
Do you have an actual company set up?
I do. With
a business checking account?
And I went ahead and did his advice and split up into four different accounts. And since we did that, you know, every single check that comes in, it gets distributed. If you want to know the percentages, I want to put 5% into profit. Right now I have 30% going into an owner's pay account. I'm not taking that out. I'm just using that to fund my paycheck. And then 15% is saved for taxes, and then the rest is left in the operating account for expenses.
How long have you been doing that so far? Did you just start?
Like a month.
Do you feel like you're more in control now, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So that's good. I mean, some people that have business for years is they commingle their money. And so it's just a mess. And I did it at first, not for very long, but you know, it's pretty common. So that's good. So we've compartmentalized. So we got your needs, and then we have the business needs, and they're not the same thing, right? Like Starbucks, that's great. That's a Brandon need. Yeah. You can spend your money out of your paycheck on it as much as you want. So are you taking a consistent amount out, or do you feel like you can't because it's okay? Yeah. Cool. What do you pay yourself? $500 a week or something?
Yeah, I came up with just, and it was kind of just an off the cuff number based on what I had hoped to we'd finish this year out based on last year, just a salary of $30,000, so that would be about $575 a week before taxes.
Okay. When you're living in where you are now, it's hard. There's uncertainty, but you're doing all the right things so far that I can tell. You're educating yourself. You're hungry. You're highly motivated. You're sacrificing by saying, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to get four accounts. It's annoying to actually go set all that up. You're doing it. So you're going to be fine. What we got to figure out how to do is get you to your goal. We need to scale, and we need to get you financial stability. And there's techniques and things we can do to combat the ups and downs in your season. And we can talk about that in a minute. So, but that sounds like a good picture. What was your revenue? What are you at year to date to this year? And what was it last year? And then the year before that?
Let me see. Last year we did 68,000.
Okay.
This year, that's the wrong one. I think year to date, actually going from like January, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it was somewhere in the 40s. It was like 45, I think.
Okay.
Which it was weird because I thought we were making more money than that, honestly. So I hadn't been paying attention to the numbers as much as I should have. So that was really eye-opening to look and go, we've only made 45 grand this year. It feels like we've worked harder than that. Mm-hmm. And that didn't include, I think August is when I sat down and actually went through all this, and it didn't include any of August's income because that was almost primarily commercial. So it hadn't hit the business. So I figured I wouldn't add that into it. August we did is a total of 14,000, but I think
that's a ginormous amount of your yearly revenue. Yeah, what happened?
We have some schools in the area that we do right before they go back to school, which is about 8,000 worth of work. And then there was just some other, you know, we had a decent few residential and then a couple commercial projects.
That was your biggest month ever, right?
That actually was. We did.
How cool was it to hit 14,000? Just to say you did it. It's pretty freaking cool, right?
Well, it's weird because like last October, we did like 13,000. And last April, it was something along the same lines, or maybe like 12. So we've gotten really near those months.
Oh, okay.
And
there's a lot of volatility. So how do you market your business?
Okay.
It's Tuesday. You don't have a job that day. You just don't. What do you do on Tuesday?
Cry about not having a job.
You sit at home, or do you go out and club things and drag them home? What do you do?
I probably work on things like the website. You know, tweaking my home. We'd get stuff from Home Advisor and Thumbtack and those types of things. I might sit down and draw a new direct mail piece up or some sort of marketing, but I don't do as much like direct sales work as I should. You know,
is it because you hate it? You're scared of it? You're uncertain? Why not?
I think uncertain is probably the best way. I don't really hate it. You know, honestly, I really like talking to people. I'm decent at it. I think it's that initial getting over the hump of actually getting out there and doing it. You know, I've never really done never tried to pursue a storefront business. We've been primarily, you know, residential and then light to medium-sized commercial property management.
10 people call your business. How many of them were from Angie's List? How many were from Thumbtack? How many were from a flyer? All the ways that people call you, referrals, past customers, just without even overthinking it.
That's
what's
good.
What's the breakdown on that right now?
I would probably say 4 out of the 10 came from HomeAdvisor. Two or three, something like that, might have found us just on Google, whether that's local maps or just actual SEO. One might have come from – we were trying like – it's kind of tough actually right now to say that because we've tried a bunch of stuff this summer that didn't really work that well. We were doing Valpak for a little while. That didn't work that great. We actually just – this is another thing we can talk about, but I took out an ad in the Mint magazine. I don't know if you guys had one of those, but it's like a Money Pages type, you know, advertisement. I was kind of hoping that would do a little bit better.
It's just like a booklet full of coupons for local businesses, right? Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. We had one of those. Did you just do it for 1 month?
I don't want to just do it for 1 month, but the 1 month that we started was this past month and we only got about 5 calls. So I'm going to let it ride out, I think, for another at least month or two just to get a, you know, try to gauge it a little bit better of a response. I don't know if that's a smart thing to do, you know, kind of looking for some advice.
So we got 4 from HomeAdvisor, 3 from Google, we'll call it organic and whatever. 1 is from
– I would probably say there's at least one like returning customer. Yeah, or a referral that would call in
so
out
we'll
of
say
that.
Say 1 returning, 1 referral.
How many are we at?
We're at 7, 8. We're at 9. And then maybe 1 from that.
I'll
just put other. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. What we want to figure out is we want to find a simple way to make other go to like 5 or 6. Because what happens is with HomeAdvisor, I call that type of a lead a reactive lead rather than a proactive lead, right? So you sit and wait and hopefully it happens. And you're going to have some level of stability, like maybe you'll get, you know, 5 calls a month and it's pretty consistent, but you're never going to get 700 calls that month from HomeAdvisor. There's like a ceiling on it that you can't control, right? And you can't control that ceiling. You can't control the HomeAdvisor limit, right? But you can control your legs and your mouth and your arms and a lot of other things that we'll talk about. So when you have a small business, most of your effort needs to go into what I call proactive sales. And so if you sit there and you modify your website so it converts more traffic and you spend a half a day doing that, a business your size, you're not going to get a good enough return on your investment. So let's say you get 10 visitors a week and you get 2 leads a week so that's 8 leads a month off your website and you spend a day changing your call to action and rewording it and making that's cool, that's good. You feel like you were productive, okay? Because you worked hard, quote unquote, but it doesn't meet your short-term needs of getting cash in the door.
Sure.
So you might convert 5% more people of your traffic, so you get like 1 more call a month because you did that, right? That's not enough. That's not enough momentum. You have to have momentum. Really, yes, there's a difference between working hard and being productive. And it's easy to confuse the two. I confuse the two. I have to check myself sometimes. It's fun to play on the internet. It is. And make your website cool and to update your thing and check your leads and recheck your email 400 times. But the people that win quickly spend a lot of time the first few years being the face of the company. You're extremely likable. I've talked to you for like 2 seconds and you could be out there selling pressure cleaning all day long. Okay. So I call that BOG. You've probably heard me talk about that, right?
Yeah, on the ground. Yeah.
So we need to have a consistent strategy that happens the same day or days every week where it's BOG day. You put on your nice shirt, you brush your tooth, you get out there and you shake hands and you kiss babies and you do your thing. What it does for you is it's terrifying, but you're going to realize how powerful it is. If you do this, even for 30 days,
right?
Okay, and you call me back, weird things will have happened to you. You're going to say, you know what? It's weird. I met a guy who referred me to a guy, and then I saw that guy at my church, and then I saw him at the gas station, and he's the property manager of the thing. And you can't even predict how this will go down, but good things happen, you know?
Where do you suggest starting for something like that?
It depends on your budget. So I like to break things. You need short-term cash, but there's residential commercial, right? So residential, you can knock doors, do door hangers, door flyers. You can do postcards that you write a price on that you do it. You can go to Chamber of Commerce events. You can join a BNI group. You can go to
What do you think about BNI groups? It's hard to cut you
BNI
off.
BNI groups are fine only if you go in it with a giver's mentality. The reason people hate BNI and they say it doesn't work, the people that say that, it's because they're takers.
Okay.
Think about it. You walk in, every person in the room wants a referral. You need to go into it being the guy trying to figure out how can I get these people referrals.
Okay.
If it's a long-term play, it's not going to feed you next
week.
Do you
think that's productive?
I think it's highly productive. Okay. You either have no time, but you have money, or you have no money, but you have time. So we need to invest your time in a way that gets you to where you have more money than time.
Okay.
And at that time, BNI might not make a lot of sense. Because if you only have 5 extra hours a week, you got to lead your team, you got to do a meeting, you're doing higher and higher level stuff. Does that make sense, or am I talking too fast?
Oh, no. No, absolutely.
I just want to provide value to you, and I want to get as much gold nuggets to you as possible.
Sure. What about direct mail? Should we we started doing that. Is that something that we should
direct mail up? Is amazing if you have the budget and the commitment to doing it right over the long term. It's dangerous when you don't have a lot of extra free cash flow because you're going to make one of two mistakes. You're either not going to send enough cards out to get an accurate sample size because you don't want to spend $7,000, or you're going to send out a big sample size, but you're only going to do one mailing because you don't have enough money to do the next one.
Right.
Both of those scenarios limit you.
Sample size to get started for that type of thing. You know, we've started doing it. We've been doing like one or two routes at a time, and we plan to follow up with them.
Are you doing EDDM?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's on a route? 600 to 700 homes or something?
It's like 400 to 500 usually. I mean, some of them are bigger, but 400 to 500 is a good number.
That's cool. I mean, EDDM, from my experience nationally, and it varies, and it depends on the season too. You have to understand your seasonality. Are homeowners snowbirds, and then they're not there this month, and you're mailing? I mean, there's nuances to your area that you need to understand, okay? But in general, a 0.5% response rate is pretty normal for EDDM. If you get 1%, you're killing it, okay? So if you send out 500 cards, you know, that sounds like a lot. You're only going to get 2.5 phone calls off that if you're hitting the 0.5%, right?
Sure, sure.
2.5 phone calls won't change your life. It's valuable, though. I mean, let me regress for a second because I had a couple other questions. Do you know what your average ticket is?
Yes, 396 on residential and
that's
about.
That's awesome. That's really good.
I learned from this guy named Josh Latimer up in Michigan. You know,
good. Now, but do you have a really low close rate on residentials, or do you do pretty good? Like, if 10 people say, "Hey, you know, I got a dirty thing, I come give me a price," how many of the 10 do you get? Like 7, 8, 9?
I get probably 9 out of 10 on ones that actually go on the estimate, and then we probably, I would say, get 6 to 7 when we give them an over the phone quote. I'm trying to work on building a little bit more of a unicorn script. Like you guys did with the inbound estimates, just to start building that perceived value. If I can get in front of the person, we almost always get it. Unless they
is there a reason you don't always get in front of the person? Since you do have, you may not always have time. When you had a $14,000 month, you didn't have time.
Yeah, and that's
is that when you were doing the phone quotes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean we do them. And a lot of times too, it's if a person is just. If they just want an over the phone quote, some people just, they'd like to, well, just give me a ballpark. And then when we try to kind of, temper their, expectation, we give them close to a ballpark, and we're not the cheapest company in the world. I never wanted to build a company where we were working for peanuts, so that they see that. And sometimes they're just price shopping, and that's where we usually lose them is if they're just concerned.
Here's just a little quick tip. What I would do with that. When someone would say, give me a ballpark, we would quote a range, and the range would be big. Okay. So big that they're like, "What? Well, that doesn't help," but you do it in a really nice way. And they say, "I'll tell you what though, would be best for you, Mr. Jones. We're going to be out your way tomorrow. You don't even have to be there. Let me just do a quick, just a peek. I'm just going to leave it on your front door. You'll have a full exact pricing for your house, and I won't even bother you." Because a lot of them just don't want you to come there and hard sell them because they're freaked out and they don't want confrontation, right?
Okay.
Take that away. Quote them a huge range, and don't ask them if you can. You say, You know what? I'll tell you what. Actually, I'm going to be out there tomorrow.
Okay.
You're looking somewhere in the 220 to 340 range. It really depends, but I can do one better for you. I'm just going to leave you a full price sheet on your front door tomorrow when I'm in the area.
Okay.
Assume you don't even have to be home. Is it okay in the morning or should I wait till the afternoon? You say something like that, and then if they're
Right.
still just really a price shopper, they might say no. Who
Right.
cares? But that's your
Sure.
system because you're going to get it'll work. It'll help.
That being said, actually, this is Jacksonville is huge. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but it's the biggest landmass in the country. Should we be just trying to specifically target one certain area? That's always kind of been my goal, just so that we're not constantly driving out to the north side or, Fleming Island. I'm saying random stuff to you,
Yeah,
but they're
I know what you mean.
like
Well,
35,
we need to
40
figure
minutes
out what
away.
your total marketable base is. So there's like a
Okay.
gajillion people there, right?
Yes.
And then there's also a gajillion
Not as many
company.
people. That's the worst. There's
There's
only like a million, million and a half people or something like that.
that's a ton. My hometown had 15,000.
Nice.
So, and then there's a lot of companies doing stuff. We want to figure out, if you could get 1% of your perfect demographic,
Right.
how many customers can you get in the area where you want to live? We need to find that out because if you want to build a $1 million business someday, you might have to make it. Maybe you can do it in a small concentrated area. There's companies in New Jersey and California that have small areas that do $2 million.
Yeah, there really are here. I mean, there's pockets of really influential areas that we could, shoot just the area that we call it's Fruit Cove, and it's an area that I don't know how many houses are in it, but I would think that just getting a small share of that, is would build a pretty significant size business.
Awesome. Well, then we just answered our own question. Yes. Let's be
Okay.
efficient, tighten up the area a little bit. We just need more phone calls. That's all we need. We need more
Okay.
volume. And we also need
Okay.
a way to fill in the gaps of the months that you already know are going to be slow. So here's your first kind of homework assignment. And I don't know if you've done this already, but let's talk about it. What I'd love to see from you is I want to see a year over year, I'm sorry, a month over month revenue spreadsheet that
Okay.
expresses the monthly revenue in the form of percentage. Okay, that was super confusing. Let me explain.
Oh,
Let's
no, I know exactly what you mean.
have you done one of these yet? It talks about it in the book.
I have rudimentary. I've never really put it in a spreadsheet and seen it on a percentage, but I've gotten an idea of it. I haven't really done that this year. I did it in the beginning. Just kind of
Okay.
lost track of that stuff when we
Well,
started getting busy.
let me give you some fake numbers just to make sure you understand how to do it, and then you can complete this. And what we're trying to figure out is the bell curve, the ups and downs for where you live.
Okay.
And because there's going to be certain months where it's going to kind of always be a struggle, and there's other months where you can barely survive. It sounds
Okay.
like August might be the you're going to barely survive month. Okay. That's cool. We just need to know the data. So let's say last year you said you did 68,000 in revenue. Let's say that you did 3,000 in January. I have no idea if you did, but let's just say you did.
I could pull it up right here, actually. I take that back. I did have something. January was terrible. I think I worked one day.
Okay.
I mean, it really was. Like, if you look, here's this little. That's the spreadsheet of.
Those are all
I
the
mean,
months last year.
that's a lot of ups and downs. That's from October
To me,
of last.
that speaks of not enough proactive selling. Those ups and downs, well, you know what that is? That's just the ebbs and flows of all the reactive things that happen to you. Home
Okay.
Advisor gives you lots of leads and then you're busy. And then people Google a lot in this month and then you're busy. And then
Right.
people refer their friends because they're having summer cookouts or whenever that month is, and then maybe you're a little more busy. And then there's
Yeah.
months when that doesn't happen. We can
Yeah.
overcome those by with proactive stuff. Yard signs, door knocking, five rounds are huge. You can crush it with five rounds if you do it right. You can do all kinds of bajillions of things.
Okay. Just lay a bunch of stuff on me that we should be doing right now as far as being proactive.
Well, you need to figure out what you. I don't know what the best one is for you. Okay.
Okay.
Five rounds are a no-brainer. Okay.
Okay.
Every single job, targeting the neighbors of your current customers has like 10 different benefits. The
Right.
biggest is you're going to build your company from, I call it from the inside out, meaning you're going to have groups of people that cluster together that hire you. And
Right.
so next year, it's like super efficient, right? Because they're all neighbors. You book them on the same day and stuff. So that's good. The other benefit is that a lot of times, they're the perfect demographic because they're the same income and age and family status as the people that they live next to.
Right.
Right. And there's a little bit of social proof when you can say we did your neighbors. Right.
Absolutely.
You couple that five around with a really strong referral ask program. Like, you know how okay. I talk about asking for referrals. Yep. Five. If you're doing that yep. right. And throughout the process, you're telling people, you know, please, you know, when you go get your mail, tell your neighbors to give us a call. If you make it about the neighbors every time you do that, and then you do the five rounds the right way, it just freaking works. It just does. It's yeah. awesome. But people don't do it because I know what it's like when you're on the job and you're already 15 minutes behind and you're calling the next customer or whatever, and then you got three estimates that called and you didn't, and you don't want to do the five rounds, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't do the five rounds, you're creating a fiscal cliff for yourself the next month. You have to do them. So whether that means scheduling your appointments with more flexible times, so there's not as much pressure for you to get out of there really quick, or maybe it means, I don't know what it means, but find a way so that you can always do it no matter what.
Okay.
Every time, no exceptions, no excuses. It's super cheap. It takes 5 minutes and it works, yeah. but it only works if you do it every day for the whole season. You know, people sure. will take your card and stick it on their fridge and call you 4 months later.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when you do it for a week and it's annoying and then you don't do it the next Monday and then Tuesday really gets away from it, and then you're just not doing it all of a sudden. You didn't do enough for it to really work for you. And so you'll think sure. it doesn't work. You'll think, oh, well, you know, I tried that. People say, I tried that. Oh, I tried door knocking. Yeah, you knocked 37 doors. Why don't you knock 30,000 doors? You know, I right. tried some from door hangers. Yeah, well, how many did you do? We did 250. 250? Do 250 a day for 6 months. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have massive action with this stuff. So the reason okay. I said all that is you said, lay it on me. What should we be doing?
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what you should be doing, but whatever it is that you do pick, do a lot more of it than you think you should. Okay? Okay. That's the key. You could do any of these things. You can only pick one of these and still get every goal you've said you wanted and more. You don't have to do everything. In fact, that's a mistake because I call that buffet style marketing. You don't do a little of this and oh, here's a yard sign and now I'm going to sponsor a T-ball team. Now I'm going to do the coupon thing and now I'm going to do 100 postcards.
I do that.
I did too for years. I wasted thousands of dollars. I wasted right. thousands and I didn't know. I didn't know. Yeah. So what is it going to do? You don't know what you don't know.
It's like you're looking for that magic bullet.
The magic bullet is humongous volume in action with you being yeah. on fire every day when you walk out that door for an extended period of time.
I don't mean to cut you off on because, I mean, this is great. What do you think about this Mint magazine? Do you think that's something that we should have in an effort to keep our phones ringing, or do you think it's better to conserve our cash flow for something to really dump into?
It's all about the numbers. I always say the numbers don't lie, but you're not going to be able to get accurate numbers unless you stick with it for like 6 months at least.
Okay.
So it's a risk. How much is it? Like $300 for an ad?
I wish.
$1,000?
I initially planned to do like just a small territory. That's all I was asking you about. Staying in one, you know, one set of town. The Mint rep, which is somebody who's my dad's an AC contractor, so he's worked with him for a long time, advised me that the best way we could get to make our phone just ring more would be to do a citywide ad. And I trusted him, and I still kind of feel like he's trying to do what's right for us. I just don't know if he knows what's right for us, but it's $1,500 a month. It's pretty expensive.
Do you use a CRM right now?
I do. I've got House Call Pro.
Okay. Do you tag where your people come from every time you get a call?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Beautiful. And you said earlier you got like two calls or three calls.
Five calls.
Okay, five calls. Five,
two jobs.
Average, do you know what the revenue was in the jobs?
Yeah. Our customer acquisition cost was $750 on okay. that. And gotcha. The average ticket was $400 out of the two. One was five, one was three.
Okay. So that's horrible. You already know that. So the question is, do we keep doing that or not? So I would lean towards definitely not doing it again because cash is so precious to you. You don't have that much revenue. Like every dollar is, sure. You know, I was just watching Shark Tank. I'm in Michigan right now with my parents and I have an office set up in here. And I was joking around with my dad. We're watching Shark Tank because Mr. Wonderful always says when he sends his money out to go to work for him, you know,
they come back with friends,
right? Yeah. And that guy's such a jerk to people, but that's a funny thing.
That's just an act.
Yeah, yeah. I love that show. But the point is like Here's how you figure out what you want your customer acquisition cost to be, okay? I take your average ticket, $396, multiply it. In your case, because you only have one part-time helper, not a lot of overhead, let's multiply it by 40%. Let's say that your profit margin is 40%, okay? Uh-huh. After paying you market rate hourly wage, not that you are, but if you were to, your helper, the fuel, the gas, the insurance, the cell phone, broken down to that one day, like what your cost is per hour to operate your business. Let's right. just say that you can run all that on 60% and there's 40 left. Now, as your company gets bigger, your margin gets smaller, right?
Sure.
Like when you have a $1 million business, you might be like 20%. Anyway, so that leaves $158 left over, right? That's your profit. Okay. So on an average job of 396, let's say that you profit 158.
Right.
Ideally, you need to acquire a customer for less than $158 at the very most, right? If it's more than that, then you create what's called cash burn. Mm. And cash burn is normal in like software and startups where they raise $50 billion and they just burn it, they just light it on fire as they scale their business. You can't do that. So we need to be profitable on every job. So my target would be half of your profit for your customer acquisition, which is $79. So can we figure out a way that's consistent, relatively consistent, to get you one shiny new customer for $80? That's the question, okay? And the answer is yes, okay? Absolutely. Definitely yes. So I'm a huge fan of, if you don't have a lot of money, to do these hand-delivered postcards that have a real price on them with a date on them. Right. And they're real simple, and they just work. They have, the whole life, the time I used it, we got a 1% rate on them. So we pass out 1,000, we get 10 calls, we close 7.5 or 8 of them.
Physically went and passed these out in neighborhoods.
Exactly, we sure did. Now, later I built, you know, Send Jim because of that same concept, except it was more advanced and stuff. But, you know, you need to conserve cash. You know, you could use Send Jim for 5 rounds if you want, because it works good because it sends them a card now, a card in 7 days, another card in 7 more days. So it hits them 3 times. But that's neither here nor there. So if you do 1,000 of these things, they only cost like 10 cents a piece if you order them in bulk. Okay. So it's only $100. And then you have your labor. Well, you can pass out 500 a day easily, unless you're just totally lame. Okay. So 2 days would be, you know, 16 hours. You're going to do it yourself to start, although we'll start paying someone to do it later. Let's say we paid someone $14 an hour to do it, which is like really good, I think. So that'd be $228 plus $100 for the card cost, right? $328 to get out 1,000 cards, which would generate, let's just say 8 calls, 0.8 of 1%. You're going to close 80%. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay. But that has to have an expiration date and it has to have real prices on it. And you don't put the inside and outside window cleaning price, you put the outside only. But you don't put on the card outside, you put window cleaning, $99. House wash. Now, you don't give overly details. These are phone call generators, okay? It's not a contract for your services. When they call, you explain. You're like, oh, you got our card? Awesome. Let me explain how that works. First of all, the price on the card is a real price. But we did just briefly look at your house from the street because we're in your area. So the next step is for me to just stop by. I'm just going to drop off a full exact pricing sheet for your house. I can be there tomorrow morning unless you prefer afternoons. Which one works best for you? Okay. How smooth is that, right? Because they're wondering. You already know when they call, like, what was included
in that? You said
that
a couple times, huh?
Yes. So let's run the numbers. You paid yourself in fake wages $228 for 2 days of labor to pass them out. You have $100 in card costs. So it's $328. Let's call it $350. So we just sent out $351 bills, and we generated 8 phone calls. We're going to close 80% of them, which is – I'm going conservative on all this. This is how you build plans. You already said you close more than 80%. Right. I said I got 1%. Well, let's not build our plan on that. Let's build it on 0.8%. So that gives you 6.4 jobs. Your average ticket's $396. That's $2,500 in revenue, right? And multiply it by 40%. Multiply that by a half. You have a $500 budget on this model, and you're still hitting our target. It only costs you $350. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, the trick for you is, like, how do you physically go do this? Because then you're going to get $10,000 on the books again, right?
Right.
That's the problem. So
honestly, and I don't want to cut you off because this is gold, man. This is exactly what I need you for. I'll tell you where, you know, you see those big ebbs and flows. We're really busy. We don't spend the time doing the boots on ground stuff. The next month is slow because we didn't do that. How should I use my part-time help to do that instead of making some of the jobs quicker? Should we flip it around where I try to make him more of a tech and I go do that stuff? What would you
advise? And the reason I want to see the month-over-month revenue chart is because step one, let's identify the line that goes up and down. I want to see it visually. Step two is to overlay that with just common sense stuff that we need to know about Jacksonville. Like no one's here in January because of whatever. I don't know, but you know. When does everybody get their stuff done? When don't they? And then where are the maybe they will, maybe they won't months? And then where are the there's no way we're going to be able to get work this month? Let's find those up. And then we match them up. And we're never going to have a perfectly flat revenue business. But instead of having a cliff, we want a speed bump. And I already know for a fact the reason you're having these ups and downs, like I said before, is the lack of proactive sales. And what I just described is proactive, but guess what else is? Calling your current customers, emailing your current customers, doing customer relationship marketing. You know, you should be engaged with people all the time. There's systems you can use to do it cheap. It doesn't have to overwhelm you. But don't focus on the one-time value of the transaction. When you get a job, you get $396, you're like, awesome. The lifetime value is 10 or 15 times that if you count referrals, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So spend some money. Make sure they're getting thank you cards. Make sure they get appointment reminder cards. Make sure they're getting a phone call. If you can't do it all, you can safely spend money on someone else to do it because we already know that it works. That is, you're going to fall within the guidelines of the profitability.
Okay.
It will just work. It'll be fine. But, you know, that's where scripting and coaching comes in. And the only way you're going to be able to coach them correctly on the stuff we've talked about today is if you go live it yourself for a time. Okay. You have to actually do it. Then you replicate what you did. And while you're doing it, do it exactly in a certain way. You know, like you do 60 minutes of things, then you take a 5-minute break, and then you do 2 hours, whatever. You be you. But make it absolutely airtight as far as this is how you pass out 500 of these things. This is how I know what price to put on the thing. This is how fast I walk while I do the thing. Here's where I would call and check in with the office to tell them how many I've got out so far.
Okay.
Give yourself the postcards so they're in like 50 bundled sections or something so that after every 50 they send you a text. Think of it in a way of if you're a Fortune 500 CEO and you wanted to hold other people accountable and you had an army of 10,000 people doing this, what would their job look like organizationally? And then you go out with, you know, several thousand of these and you do it like that for 30 days.
Okay.
You're going to learn so much, Brandon. It's going to be crazy. You can't even imagine. You're going to get jobs, you're going to meet people, and you're going to have a much firmer understanding on what it takes for that to work.
Okay.
And you're going to be exhausted too, okay?
Sure.
On the back end, when you get calls, you're going to really hone in on your scripting. You're going to be over-the-top friendly. You're going to make sure that you're selling packages like you are. You're going to do as many face-to-face estimates as you can by overcoming their I'm a price shopper objection. You're going to track where they came from. You're going to target the subdivisions that are producing the most calls. Right. And you're going to double down on them. You're going to farm. Farming is where you go back. Instead of doing 10,000 cards to 10,000 houses, do 2,500 cards. Or I'm sorry, 2,500 cards four times. Right.
You
it's funny, you know, all this because I talk about it, but you need to live it. You need to live it now. Right. This has to happen. And you can build the plan on how many to do and when to do them based on your revenue ups and down thingy overlaid with your market. Use common sense. It will never be perfect. Don't even try for it to be perfect. You can overcome perfection with massive action every time. You will still win if you're just out there grinding. And that's it. That's it. You'll get there. So the other thing I wrote for notes is you need to have a better grasp on your revenue numbers because you didn't know what they were when I originally asked.
Right.
And one of the most important things for you to understand is the exact daily, weekly, monthly, yearly targets that is your new normal. And I don't know what your baseline should be, but when you're doing this stuff and it's open-ended, it gets really exhausting. But if it's not open-ended, if you know, you will literally not go home. You will not stop working until you are booking, you know, $432 a day or this much a week or this much a month at a minimum. If that threshold is not filled up, if you're not booked out 7 days, then you're not done yet. And so establish what that minimum viable revenue number is for you so that you can survive and pay your cell phone bill and everything's okay at a basic level, and you can never violate it.
Okay.
And when you wrap your head around that, this gets really easy, and it's honestly boring to run a successful business, because later when you're done with all this,
it's just
a machine. It's just what you do. It's you answer the phone like that, because that's how we've always done it for the last 5 years. And we do boots on the ground this month, and we take a 2-week period off here because it's pointless, and then we do this instead. And then when this all comes together, it's not going to be wild, exciting, and scary and all. It's just like, yeah, that's how you do it. Obviously, but for you, you have all the knowledge, but you don't have the full level of execution yet to be totally confident in that knowledge in your own personal life.
All right.
But you're in a great market. You got a really sharp head on your shoulders. I'm actually really excited to see what happens to you in the next 12 months.
Hey, thank you guys for listening to this sample coaching call. I know that many, many of you have a vision for what your business should be like, and maybe today it's not exactly there. Or maybe you have a young business and you don't know where to start. Or maybe your business is seasoned, but you're stuck. Look, I'm not Yoda or anything like that, but I have been there and I've done it, and I have a lot of things I can bring to the table. And in my Automate, Grow, Sell Bootcamp, there are ridiculous resources, accountability, mastermind group, all kinds of things included that can help you get to where you want to go. And like I said in the intro, if you have an interest in speaking to me directly about your business specifically, now is your chance, but you got to take action. There's limited spots. I don't accept every single appointment. I do vet them a little bit just to make sure you're a good fit. But there is the opportunity for me to spend 45 minutes with you specifically talking about the stuff you're going through and adding value to you. It's not a sales pitch at all. It's 100% focused on serving you. It's a great opportunity. I love what I do. I love working with people. So here's the deal. If you want to set up your free call with me, where I'll give you a 6-page PDF business snapshot report on your business, I'll ask you a lot of questions, I'll dig deep into your pain points and try to serve you. If you want that, you need to go to automategrowsell.com/45. Now, that's just the numerals 4 and 5. automategrowsell.com/45. Do it now while there's still availability. It will be for a short time. We're trying to bring a few new people into the boot camp. After that will be it. Thank you guys for listening. God bless. Have a great day.